This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Obama administration tries new ways to stop companies from shopping overseas for lower U.S. taxes. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now, it's not illegal for corporations to reduce taxes through international mergers, but the Obama administration doesn't like it when companies, which for practical purposes are headquartered in the U.S., do mergers so they can pay lower foreign taxes. These are called inversions, and the Treasury Department is now trying to put in some new limits. For instance, it is illegal to use an overseas tax address if a merged company is still more than 80% American-owned. The new rules prevent companies from playing games to artificially lower that ratio to skirt the 80% limit. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business.
They signal a frustration that the Treasury faces. In fact, the Secretary of the Treasury, Jack Lew, has sort of pleaded with Congress, sent a letter to some members of Congress, and in the most recent release says, Treasury can't stop inversions. Only Congress can do that. But, and this is sort of in parentheses, he didn't directly say that, we're doing all we can to throw barriers up using our regulatory power. Whether it'll be enough to actually stop inversions is questionable, and even Treasury doubts that.
The Treasury Department's new anti-inversion rules also try to limit a maneuver where a U.S. company merges with a foreign firm but then sets up a headquarters in a third tax-friendly country. Will these new rules get in the way of a much-talked-about possible merger between the maker of Viagra and the maker of Botox? Well, there's no agreement. It depends on which experts you talk to about whether Pfizer could merge with Allergan in a $150 billion deal that could lower Pfizer's U.S. tax bill. Low oil prices are one reason people are buying so many new vehicles, and bigger ones at that. But oil and gas prices are not the only reason. Let's bring in our Friday regular, Chris Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So we like reporting auto sales going higher. This means auto jobs. It helps investors in those car companies. But we got to keep an eye out for what are you worried about?
We're worried about subprime auto loans. Auto loans mostly made by finance companies to people with credit scores that are so low, it's not really a question of whether they might default, but when they're likely to default.
So in other words, there's a lot of easy money floating around helping people get into cars, but if they can't pay, it doesn't help anybody.
Right. This is based on new data that came in a blog post, believe it or not, from the New York Fed. They warn that while banks are actually not just pretty well-behaved, they're actually increasingly well-behaved thanks to new regulation, there are auto finance companies that have pretty much reverted to pre-crisis levels of subprime lending. Because of that, we're starting to see already default rates on these finance company loans ticking higher.
So who regulates this?
The banks are regulated by people like the OCC, that's the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and they've already noticed this pickup, but pretty much all they can do is make sure that the banks don't get involved chasing the finance companies, you know, in order to expand their business. The other regulator that has stepped in is the CFPB, that's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They take a slightly different view of the whole thing. They're not really worried about finance companies going out of business. They're worried about people being sold cars they can't really afford and losing them down the road. What's kind of interesting about that is that under the Dodd-Frank rules, the CFPB actually is specifically prohibited from getting involved with auto lending. But my sense is that they feel like they can't sit quiet when there's a potential for a lot of people to get hurt.
And can still throw their weight around. Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you for this.
You're welcome.
And here's this fresh number from the Department of Housing and Urban Development's latest census. On a single night, this last January, nearly 565,000 people in America were homeless. That is down 2% from last year. But as Noel King reports from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk, the way that a government measures this has everything to do with how the agency defines homelessness.
These numbers are open to debate. Bruce Leslie is president of First Focus, which advocates for homeless families. He says HUD's definition is limited.
They look at things like families who are staying in homeless shelters, families who are on the streets, parks, light rail stations, tunnels, those kinds of things.
But that doesn't take into account another big group, says Maria Foscarinas, executive director of the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty.
People who have lost their own homes and are doubling up with others due to economic necessity. They simply cannot afford a home of their own.
Advocates estimate 7 million low-income Americans are doubling up, but not everyone thinks they should count as homeless. Nan Roman is president of the National Alliance to End Homelessness.
A lot of people have their college-age children living with them. The college-age children may be low-income and may be staying with their parents or a post-college for economic reasons, but you certainly wouldn't say that they're homeless.
She says families facing imminent eviction are another category of homeless. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
And before we go, there are a few things more soul-crushing than watching your ex having enormous fun all over Facebook now that the two of you have broken up. Facebook says it's now testing a system to help with that quick and easy. Facebook's hypothetical example lets you click on a thing labeled "See Less of Taylor." It doesn't notify Taylor of this, but that's all right because old Taylor is having a whale of a time without us anyway. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.